welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as I make 1 hour feel like all of eternity rolled up in one little ball. Or maybe I make it seem like a series of moments, like a line of raisins, at the end of which is a raisinless loaf of bread. Oh, I'm so glad that you join me, friends. Sit back, relax, and sip a little quiet.
I got your offer business all messed up in your...
What?
Sorry you had to see that, Bert. That's gross, right?
It's okay, Mr. Boss. You're only human.
Whatever. Speed up. I don't want to be late for the big event.
I'm driving as fast as I can, boss.
It sure is great that you're driving the bus for us, Meemaw. Since none of us have our license, I don't know how our team would have gotten to the big game.
Oh, it's no trouble, boys. I totally support the State Hoppers.
Thanks, Meemaw. It's a real dream to be on an exhibition team like this. I'm still a little uncomfortable with how vulnerable I feel. But at the same time, it's so liberating.
Put your clothes back on, Don. It's not that kind of exhibition. It's to demonstrate our basketball skills.
Which are none. So I'm baffled why we're doing this. Well, because we can. We inherited the team from Uncle Gelding, who was an original State Hopper. And now it's our duty, no, our duty, to continue in the tradition of exhibition trick shot basketball.
Well, I guess anything can be faked.
That's pretty cynical.
It is, because no one really cares. Ever come out of a movie and think, well, I guess that was okay. Well, it wasn't. It's just that at some level, you don't really care.
Hey, guys, listen to this. Norman Kraft Presbyterian and his mother, Elizabeth Kraft, stand to lose their famous Knotaberry farm.
Oh, I love Knotaberries.
They're Knotaberry.
I know what they are.
I'm just saying, that's the logo or whatever.
Quiet. The farm is in debt, and the bank is calling in the loan and repossessing the farm, including the famous dancing purple horse Hatchetberry.
Holy cow, that's awful.
There must be something we can do.
Well, one of the things we can do is go see Norman and his mom and see what's going on.
His dad, Rogers Presbyterian, was an awesome guy. He'd be crushed to know this was going on.
Well, he won't have to know if I can help it. Meemaw, head to Knotaberry Farm.
Gee, Mr. Boss, if we only had more time, we'd be able to raise the money to cover the loan payment.
If wishes and crows were fishes and moes, oh, what a seafood stooge we'd have. But you don't! So as of tomorrow, at noon this time, this farm will be mine, and along with it the purple wonder horse Hatchetberry.
No, never!
No, never! Oh, I'm so scared. You're right about one thing, though. No, never will you stop me from ruining your life the way your late father ruined my day one time.
Please, Mr. Boss, show some mercy. That was a long time ago, and Roger never meant any harm.
He never meant any harm, did he? Then why did I find the Knotaberry jam I bought mildly disappointing?
I don't know.
You don't know! But I was robbed of pleasure momentarily! And I will not stand for being made a fool of.
Mr. Boss, your fly is open, and you might want to put that...
Oh, whoopsie whoops.
We beg you, Mr. Boss, please give us more time to raise the money.
You have 24 hours, and I'd use the time to find a place to live and a way to cope with the grief of losing your wonder horse.
no. What are we gonna do, Mom?
I don't know, Norman.
Well, whose bus is this? Oh, look, Mom, it's the State Hoppers.
Hey, friends, we came to lend a hand.
Hey, it's the old Nottaberry Farm, just like I remember it.
Hi, folks. We came right away when we heard. What's going on?
Are you sure you read that line right, Hardy? Is it, we came right away when we heard, period, what's going on? Or, we came right away when we heard what's going on?
Either way, what's up, Kraft Presbyterians?
It's Mr. Boss at the bank. He hates us because he was jealous of Dad.
It was always his dream to have his own fruit farm, but he couldn't make a go of it. He lent the money to Rogers as a way of having a hand in the business, but he was so jealous he wanted the farm to himself.
When Dad died, he saw an opportunity and pounced.
And now we're in a pickle.
Well, James was in a giant peach, but then he left his wife when she had a stroke.
Butchie.
How much money do y'all need? $10,000.
No problem. I'll write a check.
Butchie, no way.
Jesus, I'm being sarcastic, people.
There's no way we'll get it. Well, there almost was.
What's that?
Well, I was going to ride Hatchetberry in the horse dancing contest in rodeo, but I broke my foot plowing the field, so no, I can't. The prize money would have covered the loan payment.
Well, that's too bad.
Hey, I got an idea. What if we entered the rodeo?
We as in the State Hoppers?
Sure. There's more than one thing we can't do well.
So you think we have a chance?
Well, I know this. If we do nothing, then Norman and his mom, whose name I forgot, lose the farm. What do you say?
Elizabeth.
Well, if that means you're in, then Elizabeth for me, too.
Elizabeth, we can do this.
Elizabeth. So who's going to ride this horse?
Well, one of us is jockey size.
Oh, no.
It's for the Kraft Presbyterians, Butch.
I'm just sure we'll win the prize money and save the farm. Won't we, Hatchetberry?
I heard your whole plan with my hidden camera.
Isn't that a hidden microphone, Mr. Boss?
It is. Well, I couldn't get just the mic, so I got the whole camera and the mic, but I'm using it for just the sound. Same price, works out. Anyway, those meddling State Hoppers try to win that rodeo tomorrow, and they're in for a big surprise.
You'll wreck it for him, right, Mr. Boss?
Yes, I'll wreck him.
I will, and they'll never know it was me who wrecked him.
What?
Nothing.
Hey, this is pretty good. I've never been to a rodeo before. I didn't know they had so much fried food and other smells like poop and leather and Axe body spray.
It sure is an interesting smellscape.
Wait here. I'll go enter us in the horse dancing contest, and you guys stay with Hatchetberry.
Gotcha.
Are you nervous, Butchie?
Nervous? I've never done anything like this before. How could I be nervous?
There they are, the fools. Bert, when the other one looks away, grab the tiny one and replace it with the look-a-lot robot.
Right, Mr. Boss.
Hey, look over there, Butch. I think they have funnel cakes.
Quick, grab him.
Oh, funnel cakes. I love funnel...
I love funnel, too. Maybe we could grab some funnel cakes. What do you say, Butch?
That would be yabba fine.
Okay, but one of us has to stay with the horse. I'll go grab them in case they call you to perform.
Yabba, okay.
Okay. You seem... Okay, I'll be right back.
Go already.
Hey, Butchie, I entered us and you're on next. You think you can do this? I mean, most of it's just the horse. So as long as you don't keep the horse from doing his thing, we'll be fine.
Keep the horse from doing his thing?
No. Very funny, Butch.
The next contestant is Butchie Spinoza, riding Hatchetberry.
You're on, Butch. Okay, up the daisy. Here goes nothing. Go, Butch.
Here is the renowned purple dancing horse, Hatchetberry, and he will be dancing to Jamiroquai's Virtual Insanity.
Wow, look at him go. How does he do that slide thing? Is the floor moving?
Man, Butchie's good.
All right, Bert. The robot Butchie is on the horse. Now press the chaos button.
Right, boss.
Hey, what's Butchie doing?
He's standing up on the horse and doing some sort of dance.
Now he's lighting his hat on fire and throwing candy. Is that part of it, Hardy?
No, he's lost his mind.
This entry is very unconventional. The rider seems to be acting as if he's a robot that's been programmed to wreck the contest.
Look, now he's licking the horse's ear.
Hey,
Hey, who's the wise guy who tied me up?
Butchie, but you're up. Then who's on the...
I bet it's a robot.
Butchie, where are you going?
That jerk out is on my horse. I'm gonna go let him know what's up.
Butchie, you can't go out in the ring. Be careful.
There seems to be another rider in the ring. Another identical rider, and he's approaching the horse.
Yo, horse, stop. Yo, messhead, get the crap off my stinking horse.
He's grabbing the rider off the horse, and he seems to be ripping his limbs off. Wait, that's no rider. It's a robot. And now the real Butchie is climbing on the horse. Wow, look at him go.
Go, Butchie, go.
This is the best horse dancing we've ever seen.
What's happening? My plan. The farm.
I think they got us, Mr. Boss.
I will not lose. Shoot them all dead.
Come on now.
That's not very subtle. Maybe let's just admit defeat and slink away.
Yeah, for now. But I'll get those state hoppers.
Congratulations, Butch. We won first prize. Now we can give the money to the Kraft Presbyterians and save the farm. How'd you do it, Butch?
Rage. I use rage like others use reason.
Well, I don't recommend that, but it works, I guess.
But what happened? I'm so confused.
Well, the banker must have overheard our plan and made a robot Butchie to thwart it.
That's kind of hard to swallow. You got a chewable version?
Well, obviously it wasn't a great plan.
I bet plan B was to gun us all down.
Oh, Butch, you're so cynical.
Oh, Hardy, you're so naive.
Oh, Butchie and Hardy, you're both so different yet similar.
Well, I'm just glad it all worked out. And now we have an exhibition basketball game to play.
Are you ready to go, boys? I have the bus all fired up.
Let's do it, Meemaw.
Oh, that brings back memories. That is the cartoon version of my old exhibition basketball team, the Harlan Statehoppers. I inherited it from a dead uncle. And it's a team we'd go around to different cities and do basketball exhibitions and trick shots and everything. So we'd go onto the court and dribble and also do things with the basketball. Isn't that funny? But I literally mean that. There's a lot of saliva involved, and I'd slip on it. We were terrible at basketball. All of us are awful. But that was the funny part. You see, people go, oh, my goodness, they've got to be faking it. A lot of times, people will assume if you're really bad at something, they'll say, oh, you got to actually be good to be that bad, like an art or something. Oh, that artist made just one paint smear across the, or is it schmear? I don't know. Across the canvas, he smeared it. But you have to be good just to do that? Well, I don't know. Well, not in this case, you didn't. It actually worked to our advantage that we were awful because it made us what you call authentic. So, oh, they're not faking being stupid. No, isn't that awesome? Then why do it? Why put yourself up to ridicule like that? That seems a little risky. Well, I'm telling you, it's sort of, it's the Lucy paradox. Now, who's the Lucy paradox? Lucille Ball used to all the time on her show, she'd go up to do something serious or something, play. Now, this is where they got also Springtime for Hitler and all. When something is accidentally successful because it succeeds in a way it wasn't intended to. Often that's funny. So, oh, this was meant as serious, but look, now you're an object of ridicule. We find it hilarious. This happens on the internet a lot. Somebody puts something up thinking it's sincere, and they'll succeed because of another reason. Now, a lot of times, it seems sad because you say, well, they're succeeding, but they're being mobbed. They're losing their dignity. So who's really winning? I don't know. We all wish, oh, that guy is a millionaire now. Who is? Oh, the guy who's accidentally got poo all over him or something? You know, but what's the price? The price you've paid. But is that even really you? Oh, are we competing or cooperating? That's what I want to talk about today. Are we? Come on in. First of all, you're in my house, and we're going to cooperate here. That's just my house rules. Because if we compete, I've tried to compete with roommates, and it ends up just like Inspector Clouseau and the awful roommate who would attack him all the time. I've had that in real life, except that we didn't set it up. We weren't cooperating. Those exhibition basketball games, one team, a lot of times people would just call us the stupid losers team. That's what it would say on the scoreboard. And then we'd play a local team like that. And people would say, oh, it looks set up. Are you cooperating or are you actually competing? Like professional wrestling, are they competing or cooperating or both? Oh, it's hard to say sometimes whether people are
competing or cooperating. That's why I like to watch cartoons and everything. I think I'm getting ahead of myself. Sometimes we're promoted in school just because of biology. And they'll say that. They'll say, you know, there's a word for it. Don't yell it out. When they promote children, social promotion or something like that. See, I think you just stay in the grade till you mastered it. But say, oh, I'm humiliated. I got to move on. You don't got third grade down? It takes 5 years? Bah, 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 bah. Stay there. Come on. While you're moving, on to lessons. And I feel that way in my own life. I think, oh my gosh, I'm an adult. And there are basic child lessons I don't know. Every time I secretly watch cartoons like that. I need to see this. It's like going in a drugstore. You say, well, you know, why do you need that salve? For something embarrassing? For an embarrassing place? Yes. But you need it. So it might be a little embarrassing, but I realize there are a lot of things that I haven't really figured out yet, and yet I moved on. And they won't let you go back to Sunday school. So I'd like to go back to Sunday school with the 9-year-olds. You know, why? What's wrong with you? I go, no, I just missed. I'd like to review it again. And I think certainly in your religion, I've met a lot of religious people who are just having to live a lie about their biblical literacy, aren't they? I don't know. They just refer you to their pastor. And they say, oh, see, please just argue with my pastor. I've had that happen before. Start talking about something, and somebody will say, oh, you got me all turned around like the devil. You need to go talk to my pastor/attorney. And then people have someone speak in their stead. Oh, am I speaking in your stead? I hope not. What is that? That's like a barn or something, isn't it? Stead? Now I'm all confused. Shed? Stead? I don't know. Instead of you is how I meant it. But you may have seen it. Oh, now I see him, Hardy, speaking for me in a barn. Hello? It'd be neat if we had a barn together. Florida has many forts. It really does. Some literal forts, but really I mean cities that begin with the word fort. Fort Lauderdale, Fort Meade, Fort Myers Beach, Fort Pierce Beach, Fort Walton Beach, No, those are some of those I made up. But there's a lot of places that begin with fort. When I was 15 years old, I had a job at the local bus station. And I was really terribly unqualified for it. I didn't want the job, and I was tricked into it. A friend said, hey, would you like to work with me at the bus station? And I was like, man, that'd be fun. Yes. And we would just have a load of fun, wouldn't we? Yep. I go, I don't know what I'm doing, but you'd be there. Yep. Well, he tricked me. So I got hired, and really what he did is he was supposed to find somebody to replace him. So I got hired and he left. So it was just me and his abusive alcoholic uncle who wasn't there often. So at 15, I was trying to run a bus station. I was the only employee. It was very small. It was in half of an old gas station. So it was in the part of the gas station. Remember when gas stations had little offices? You'd go in and say, hey, I might need that. I'm interested in that calendar. Say, all right, your car is in. Are you fueling up or are you in one of the bays getting repaired? I'm in one of them bays. Frank is having a look at the engine. He says it doesn't sound right. So I'd come over here. I'm going to take a look in the office. Well, I got my desk here. I got some chips. And I see you have. I'm interested in these calendars. Now, tell me about them. Oh, these are calendars. They got months on them all, and they got pictures all different. Well, you can see right there what that's a picture of.
That's what piqued my interest, so to speak. As, also, I'm going to need oil, 40 penny, weight 10, and also, I don't know, give me one of them, what is that, pencil?
So they would have offices like that, but this office had been taken out now as a bus station, and the bays were rented by a gentleman, fun with a big bushy mustache who liked drugs and engines. And he would work on that, and then I was in the bus station part. I go, what bus company was it? I think you know. It's practically, in fact, both stopped there, I believe. There's two bus companies, and sometimes they share stations because, come on. So do the airlines, by the way. Did you notice that? Go to an airport and goes, there's more than one airline here. I think if each airline had their own airport, that'd be crazy.
That's the future, though, I bet.
So anyway,
We are, we meaning me, alone at this station. And I'd have to get there at 5 a.m. I'm 15, okay? And I get there at 5 a.m. And the drunkard would take me, we would unload the first bus. I've told this story. You can go and dismiss yourself if you've heard it, but I'm going to add something to it. It's going to blow your mind. Unload the bus at 5 a.m. And then there's a bit of a gap before the next bus. And so we would go out to eat at 5:30, and I'd have a hamburger or something, and he'd smell a liquor. And then we would go back to the bus station, and he'd go somewhere and pass out, and I would have the counter. So a gentleman came in, and he wanted to go to a town in Florida for something. Now, I'm telling you, it's easy to confuse Fort Myers, Fort Pierce, Fort Walton. They're not really close, depending on what you think of close. Anyway, you can see this coming a mile away. Not knowing what I was doing, I believe I sent the gentleman somewhere different than his intended destination. Now, you know, this could have been this guy's last money. And I sent him to somewhere he didn't want to go. We'd have to get a ticket from there to the place. What if he got stuck? What if I changed his life? What if that was it? And then the guy filled out the wrong place, and I was stuck there, and I went to Fort Pierce, and I don't know Fort Pierce, and I'd never been there, and then I got arrested, and then my life, and that's why I'm dead. You know, you could hear that. Oh, I wouldn't want to hear that in heaven. Could you imagine talking to somebody, meeting somebody in heaven, they tell you that story, and you go, I wonder who sold you that ticket. Dang, 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 dang. So you don't want that to happen. In heaven's, does heaven have cafes and things like that? I don't even know. I haven't been there yet, I don't think. But you wouldn't know because they recycle you. They get rid of all your memories. Then it isn't you. Right, exactly. So who are you? I don't know. I think that's another show. If all y'all know which the Who Are You show is, tell everybody. Hardy told you? Hardy, I think I have accidentally revealed very, very well-kept secrets of the universe. How do I know them? Let's just put it this way. If you were all-powerful being and knew everything, and you had some secrets to hide, where would you hide them? Exactly, my basement. So I know these things, and for some reason I have sent them out into the world, and I feel like often I have sent you to Fort Lauderdale when you wanted to go to Fort Walton. And they both have beaches, but the water's different. One's on the Atlantic and one on the Gulf. And if you wanted to go to the Atlantic and I sent you to the Gulf, whoa. Whoa is not whoa, like whoa, but whoa. Oh, whoa with an E. I'm so sorry. So being, now, can we ever be truly competent, though? Do you think that somebody who's like a lawyer who loses a big case or something, some of them are tortured, I guess others aren't. Oh, what if I wish I didn't have a conscience. You've probably seen the movie Pinocchio, in which the conscience is depicted as an insect with an exoskeleton, right? An insect. And you say, well, how's that a conscience? Well, conscience got to be able to fit in your ear, and only an insect can really get up in your head. I no longer have brains in my head. I have a tiny insect village reminiscent of James and the Giant Peach. In fact, Butchie referenced it earlier. Isn't that funny? It's almost like the whole... I don't want to tie the show together for you too much. The show, I feel, is not tied together as much as it's laced up. So you see, one, the strings, they lead and they cross as if they were DNA. And within anything I say to you are blueprints for a variation on how to do things, just like DNA is. But it's not the ultimate way. It's just one of many possibilities. We're going to see what works. We throw it out. That's how evolution works. See, the DNA changes a little bit. So let's try this. And if the thing that is made is viable, that it can actually live and survive, does the fact that it have a big fuzzy head now, is that going to be good or bad or indifferent? And so we go on like that's all the traits that we've accumulated. You know, we really don't know if they're good or bad, or just good enough,
All we know is that we've survived, and that could be for any reason. So all this change, how do I make, what direction do I go in if it's that arbitrary? What if I'm like a driven leaf? Isn't that wonderful? You think you're driving. So you can't really fail at this. You know, I'm sorry. You look back in history, lots of people who lived, you don't even remember who they are. Most people are obscure. Even if their names remain in history, you know really nothing about them. All right, tell me right now. Tell me right now what the voice of Frederick I, Frederick Barbarossa, sounded like. You don't have to do it in German. What did he sound like? You'll never know. What was he like? You'll never know. Even going back a few years, you'll never really know who these people are. Oh, your wonderful life that seems precious to you is. But it isn't everything else. That's hard to fathom. When I think of the word fathom, I cannot help but think of a submarine. I guess because there were so many submarine shows that I liked as a child. Journey to the 34,000 leagues under the sea. What's a league? Distance. And the other is this show had a flying sub and all. Underwater, what's it called? Don't yell it out. Again, it'll come to me. But had an admiral on it. Oh, I loved it. That was a great show, too. But they all had to do with submarines. Okay? Journey to the Bottom of the Sea? Is that it? Something like that. Sparky or Sharky or something was one of the characters. It's all coming back to me now. And the sub would rock a lot. But anyway, I always enjoyed this. I'm kind of claustrophobic, but I've always enjoyed the metaphor of a submarine like that. Having this thing around you, you see, that would normally crush you, in which you would suffocate. And yet, look at you with your other little fragile beings are in this tiny cup under the water. And for now, you're alive and you go places you normally couldn't. You're doing this crazy endeavor that shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. Oh, and sometimes it isn't, you know. During the Civil War, there was the Hunley, the submarine made out of a big metal tank or something. And some dudes got in it, said, we're going to go blow up a Union ship. And they did some damage, but eventually you get in the water with a tank like that and some cranks, and y'all, stonk, you go to the bottom of the sea. Alive, I imagine. And they're like, uh-oh. And then they sat there. I guess like it's eight of them just sat there staring at each other going, oh, man, okay, this is it. Here we are. It'd be neat to be in your tomb alive for a few minutes before your death. No, it would not. It'd be terrifying. Life can be horrible and terrifying. Is it for you right now? I was feeling depressed earlier. I had no reason. I wish I could shake it off. I thought, oh, of all the terrifying, awful things happening in the world, I'm standing in the shower, safe and warm, and yet I feel awful. And yet, you know, life has real awfulness to it. How dare I? How dare I? I can't control my brain, though. I'm just trying to reason myself out of it. And you know, I did get to a place of more strength. Oh, I was still a little bit sad, you know, but it didn't feel tragic anymore. And then I thought about Croesus. King Croesus was the wealthiest man to ever live. He owned everything. Everything was made of gold. There was no one wealthier than Croesus. He is very powerful as well. So we say as rich as Croesus, don't we? Rich and powerful. I guess we don't say it anymore, but my grandfather said it. Say, man, that is as rich as Croesus. Yes, he is. You saying Jesus? Nope. So it took me a while to figure out who that is, but it was a King Croesus. He had everything. It's like a Midas or something. Everything. And all the riches you can imagine. And one day he's talking to a philosopher. He goes, man, I got the best life. Philosopher goes, yeah. Yep, I got the best life ever there was. I can't imagine anyone more powerful or wealthy than I. Therefore, I have it so good I don't want to brag, but I'm telling you, I get everything I want. It's absolute perfection. And the philosopher said, well, that may be, but you can't say it's a good life. Because why can't I say it's a good life? Come on, it's a good life, it's a great life, best life, perhaps. Philosopher says, well, it's not over yet, Rover.
King says, name's Croesus. What are you talking about? Flofficer says, well, you know, I've seen some heroes, war heroes and everything. They go out in glory and they die. And he said, that is a good life. Look at that last moment of glory. Up to then, maybe nothing, but oh, that last moment of glory, good life. That is a good life. And what's your point? Point is, yours isn't over yet. The king is like, I've had years of wealth and happiness and joy. Are you somehow telling me that it could be ruined and it won't be a good life? That is nonsense, and I think I should probably have you killed. And then that will erase that idea. Well, you can see that coming a mile away, right? Can't you? Croesus did have his last days awful. So was it a good life? It was a tragedy, right? So is the totality make it good, or the moments would get? Well, I only know the moment. You're not. I'm not even talking about you. You're listening to my show. I'm talking about other, you know, people without the tiny bit of self-awareness that we have. How do you know I have it? Because you're just listening to another person and you don't know whether you agree or disagree with them yet. That makes you special. Lots of people, they'll judge immediately something. They won't find out anything great because they think they know. They walk up to a door, walk up to a shop. They look at the sign. They go, I think I know it. This shop's one of them lousy shops. I ain't even going in. I'm not going in. It's one of them shops that's got junk. I ain't going in because I think it's also foreign junk. It's foreign junk. It's not even good junk. So what? Then you go in, and you're never going to find that thing that you always wanted was sitting in there, you idiot. What harm is it to open the door and explore? You see, I don't see what time you're saving. All these missed opportunities, you're creating these secret tragedies. Creating secret tragedies. I want to break. Hey, come on with me. I'm not perfect, but I tell you what I am. I am reckless. I'm reckless for joy and love. I'll always say, oh, come on, let's explore. There's a possibility for friendship or love or discovery. I'm not reckless and saying, oh, I'm going to go in there and be incompetent because I want to send somebody to Fort Pierce. What's wrong with Fort Pierce? Nothing. But if you want to go to Fort something or other, there is something wrong with it. When I was very young, and my grandparents live, all grandparents live in South Florida, as you know. So you go with your grandparents in South Florida, you say, where are we going? Your grandfather wants to go to the Holiday Inn in Hollywood or whatever. Fort Lauderdale, but it's because there's an act playing there, and he loves it. He must see them. So he said, and I'm going to give the real name of this band called Danny and the Tunesmen. So my grandfather said, I love Danny and the Tunesmen. Got to see him. This is real life. I said, oh, they're not around anymore, so I can talk about it. I'm not going to say anything bad about them. I just thought this was remarkable. There was a hotel band that my grandfather had to see. So we'd go down. Now we'd drive down from his home, like another hour, and go to the Holiday Inn. And I remember sitting at this table, maybe ate dinner there, and then this trio comes on, and they do comedy music. So they do old favorites, old people songs, like, right? And then the trumpeter, Danny, would also tell jokes. And I don't know if anybody does this kind of shtick anymore. Talking to you, Pete Barbuti, still alive? But this, that kind of thing, it was big, I'm telling you. So, they would do a song, and we were in Fort Lauderdale. He said, do a song called Fort Lauderdale. And it went a little something like this. They'd say, my kind of town, Fort Lauderdale's my kind of town, Fort Lauderdale. The beautiful people, Fort Lauderdale. Okay, so this, you're going, oh, I recognize that song, but your lyrics are sort of different there, Hardy. I know, I didn't know that at the time. So I had that, we ended up buying the album. My grandfather said, gotta get the album, got it autographed and everything. I'd go home and I'd listen to my kind of town, Fort Lauderdale. Now, I did not know, and they would go, the beautiful beaches, Fort Lauderdale.
Years went by before I realized that that was about a different town, right? It was a Chicago or something. Which I'm thinking, that doesn't even fit. My kind of town, Chicago, is, I didn't fit Fort Lauderdale, didn't need any more syllables. So I didn't know there was an original thing. All I saw was the parody. And yet I still liked it and enjoy it. Oh, how often are we looking at the shadow of a thing? How often are we looking at something that's being mocked or made fun of, and we assume that that's the original thing? Oh, my God. What's this have to do with cooperation or competition? So I was talking to a friend from another country, and the country is, you're going to say, there's no such place as Mysteristan. There is, and I get angry when I'm contradicted. So my friend is from Mysteristan, and I said, do y'all have public education? And he goes, no, why? Why would we? I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, why would I want my neighbor educated? I go, well, you know, so we all can all work together. He goes, well, hang on, you know nothing of my country. We're competing. I go, oh, really? He goes, yes. Our whole system is based on competition. All right? So by competing, we all kind of keep each other honest. You know what I'm saying? I look out for me, you look out for me, and we all work against one another. And see, nobody sort of gets ahead, right? I can get a little bit ahead, but I don't want you to get educated. That's for you to figure out how to do, right? It's all a big game. We're competing like a game. Do you understand? In Mysteristan. So, oh. So if I pay for you to get educated, and then you know more than me and accomplish and earn more than me, that's no good. Oh, okay, I get it. So what, you must do that with other things? Oh, yeah, well, we do it with education. We do it with any kind of food or anything. Oh, all right, so you're just all super competing. Yeah, do you ever cooperate? With our gangs. Oh, with your gang. Yeah, so we do have units that we cooperate with a little bit just so we can get things done. Oh, and then, but they're all competing. Oh, how do you know who's in what gang and all? Oh, you just know. What an unusual place. I'm not used to that. You know, then there's another country where they all cooperate. Don't even bother. I'm not going to. Here's a cartoon from Czechoslovakia. No, not really. I wish I could show something just out of nowhere like that. Did Gene Deitch do it? Yes, he did. Look at it. It's beautiful. It's very minimalistic. I wish I could also show you things, but I can only show you things with words. I hope I'm getting my words through. I hope my heart is coming through to you. I call out a lot. I think that's my job, is to call out to the universe. You know, like the universe is out there in the field, like Pa or Ma. And Pa or Ma is riding a tractor way out there. They're thinking about big things, like all the wheat fields and everything. And I'm inside the house with the baby and the toddler. And me, who is like a baby and toddler. And we got, the baby's got no food, the toddler's got, so I go in and I stand on the front porch. And I say, oh, Ma and Pa in the field, do not forget about your children in this farmhouse. We call out to you. We don't know that you're going to come here in an hour and feed us. All we know is that we are hungry now. We don't know what's in your grown-up brain out there in the field on that tractor. All we know is that we are alone in this house, and we miss you. And we need you. Come feed us. Come comfort us. Come love us. And I call out there for you. Because I can. Because you got, my gosh, you're still a baby or a toddler. I'm not saying that you are. But I'm saying that's how I see my role. And you do too, probably. So I'm going to call out for those who can't call out. And I would love to do that. If you feel like your heart can't say, oh man, I got pain, but other people got more, so I can't say anything. Especially if you're if you're sitting in an office right now, you look around, you go, I'm listening to this guy on the radio. I got all these nice things, and I'm sitting here and I feel like I don't even want to live anymore. And yet I got blessings and people who love me.
And Hardy on the radio saying, oh, there's people suffering across the world having a sword put to their throat and everything. I feel guilty, but I need help. But I feel guilty because I don't want to say, oh, I'm an executive sitting in a suite. I got everything's rights going for me, and yet I'm sad. I need help. Who wants to say that when there's other stuff? I know you feel good. I know that's what's in your heart. Oh, cry out. Oh, don't be ashamed. When you do cry out, there's going to be two things that'll happen. One is that Butchie will laugh at you.
Ha ha, you cried out, you weak.
The other is that Lou will come running.
Oh, I heard you crying out. What do you need?
See? Now, if you can take Butchie, then you get Lou.
Excuse me?
I know. No, you also got to, you know, I can count on you.
Yeah, to be honest, at least.
All right.
I give you the view of the world. You do with it what you want.
All right, I understand that.
But I'm not your nursemaid.
I know.
In fact, if you get your mouth anywhere near...
Listen, man, I know you're not my nursemaid. That's what a nursemaid is. All right. Bless you.
Oh, my friend, do you need a friend?
Oh, if you need a friend, I will be your friend. Come and let me in to your house. Now, you're going to be mad at me because really I wanted initially just to come in. I need to use the bathroom. But now that I'm here, gosh, I'd like to help you. You need anything? Don't say move heavy things. Don't say move heavy things. People are always saying, the minute I say it, I know it. I go, hey, you need anything? And it's always, yeah, I got to move heavy things, because that's the one, a lot of times people can't do that by themselves. And maybe you got to move heavy things, but they're not tangible. Still, you can't do it by yourself. Please reach out. Oh, my gosh. You know, nobody's not suffering and struggling. And if they are and they say they aren't, they're a foolish liar. Just come on. You know? And, Butchie, do you ever suffer?
No.
There you go. He's absolutely lying. I know for a fact that he is sometimes full of just absolutely tortured with self-doubt and everything, even if things are going well, you know? What we do is we just spend a lot of time together, me and the two friends I do have, you know?
I mean, friend is a stretch.
All right, man. But that's why I say, gosh, I will show you you can come into my house. This is where I look at the show. You can come into my house. I haven't cleaned. I know a lot of people won't have people over because they say, oh, my house is a mess. I can't have people. And they never have anybody over. And they never have anybody in spontaneously because they're embarrassed about the mess that their house is. Because what they don't understand is even though they've seen clean houses, all our houses are somehow a mess. And if somebody's really going to judge you for your messy house, do you have respect for them anyway? You can have compassion, but who cares? I made a decision that I'd let you into my house no matter how messy it was. That I would let you into my heart no matter how messy it was. That I wouldn't be embarrassed if by revealing my house, it also revealed that I wasn't maybe as smart as I think I am. That maybe I wasn't as clever or wise or funny as I think I am. Is that okay? Gosh, you know what? If it means you not freezing on the outside of the house, if it means you having a meal or not being full of sadness to come in here, then that's fine, man. Who am I? Why am I so special that I got to look perfect? Everybody's got to like me. I can't do that. It could only be me. And then perish. Oh, I'm so afraid of dying. Aren't you afraid of dying? Oh, not really. Well, you will be in a minute because I'm going to put the thought in your head and then you're going to obsess about it. No, not really. Oh, I'm afraid of it. But, and then I forget about it. Comes and goes. Now I'm not. Now I'm all of a sudden not because you're with me, I think. You know? And it just feels it's nice to lose yourself in others. And if we all lost ourselves in others, we would be done with the burden of being an individual. And I don't mean lose your individuality. I just mean lose the anxiety about it. Say, I can't possibly look at an ant and feel pity for just one of them saying, oh, he doesn't know. They're all those ants. You don't really even distinguish. You know, You're the only one that really distinguishes you from the mass of humanity. The universe looks at you and you go, oh, human beings, I'm going to treat them okay. But it doesn't single out any, I don't think, and say, I better work this out for Hardy. I think we are probably more concerned about that. But I am a human being, and I know what's going on, so I volunteer to help you. I will make it my concern, because I'm also one. I get the same imperfections you two, including the human spine. Oh, vertebrates, I pity you. What a terrible design. We are all, but you know, evolution, once it finds something, if it works, it doesn't feel compelled to improve it. That's not the way it works. Oh my gosh, it's not the way it works. How do you know? How do I know? I know through cooperation, because other people have agreed to work on a problem over time, even though they'll die. So, a person starts working on a problem, and he or she works very hard, or they work very hard. And they know they won't maybe get to the end of solving this, so say, hey, you take over. I will. I'll work on it for a while. And then they work on it. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And then you say, oh, we discovered. Then you, as a member of humanity, always take credit for it. That's when we discovered flight. Wait, what's this? What's this we, Kima Wright? I don't know that did you? But there are those who have worked on problems over time, and we have this beautiful dialogue with our ancestors and a beautiful dialogue with our descendants, and we say, keep chugging on this problem, we're going to figure it out. Keep working on it. Keep cooperating. Because if we lose this information from generation to generation, we'll have to start all over again. And so I try to keep my promise to the past. And I've been handed a baton, and I don't intend to let it fall to the ground. I don't intend to let the chain be broken. I will not participate in cutting the line to the past. There's a man in an old-timey diving suit, and he has an air hose, and he is floating around in 500 B.C. And I'm pumping him air to this day. Don't make me cut that line. He'll be gone forever, and I'll never be able to speak to him, and nor will anyone else. Do you understand?
No.
I don't either. Keep learning, keep striving, my friend. Don't shut your mind down to new ideas or new people. Don't be afraid. I think it must be only fear could keep you from the different, right? What kind of adventurer would you make, you think, if you're fearful? Go out, really. Oh, there's somebody coming. Yes, there's somebody coming. There's always somebody coming, and sometimes they have a knife. That's why we learn all the skills of self-defense. You go and you read a book. Now, this is a very unusual book, and I've spoken about this book, and I may have said that this is the worst book in the world, the worst book ever written. And one of the reasons is because of the man who wrote it, Francis Galton. But this How to Travel book will let you know that there are many people that have gone into situations not knowing what's going to happen. Just depending on themselves, maybe they're afraid, but they're brave because they know that the payoff will be huge, that they're looking for something, they're going to gain something. And that's what travel and exploration does to you. You can't travel and remain closed-minded. It's impossible. Because sometimes you find yourself at the mercy of other human beings. And guess what? They don't share your beliefs. And guess what? If you turn down their hospitality because of your beliefs, or the difference in them, you would find yourself, perhaps, perishing. So just out of survival, you find, gosh, I'm awfully accepting of other people's beliefs when I'm hungry. And that's what travel does to you. It makes you helpless. And you know what it means to survive on the kindness of strangers, which is a line from a play Which this isn't.
This is a radio show. This is a friendship. This is a message from the past.
I am speaking to you from the not-so-distant past, but I assure you I am speaking to you from the past. And I have a connection via, oh, I don't know, thought string to something very old. And I'm trying to hook you up with a message. That's why I say I'm time traveling. Because I am, because I can go anywhere along that string.
I know. And then I can go out on these other places, these possible worlds.
Really?
Yep.
What's that all about?
Oh, well, there's all these infinite possible worlds, and you can actually visit them. And you can see how, because really, for every possible outcome of anything, it could be another way. Right? For every choice I make, I could have made a different choice. And there are some who believe that those places literally may exist.
Oh, that's intriguing.
Not super intriguing, because it's one of the worthless pieces of information that does not grow nodaberries.
What's a nodaberry anyway?
It's not a berry, but it is something sweet. It is something good. It is something nourishing. It's a love. I don't know. I'll figure it out. It's a metaphor for something. Are you still here? Hello? I'm just now looking up for my tea, and I see you're not there. I hope you've just gone to the restroom. Hello? Did you leave? You didn't leave on me, did you? Are you under the table? You can't sneak away from Uncle Hardy. I'm going to find you. Are you hiding in this house? Have you left? Well, even if you left, I guess I'm not going to stop talking. That's not going to deter me. I've never felt deterred by anything. Not permanently, temporarily. I've been doing the show on this radio station, WFMU, I think for 4 years, almost five maybe. I've stopped doing it maybe, I don't know, a couple hundred times. I've never told anybody. But, you know, but then mysteriously there's a new episode every week.
How does that happen?
I think one time, actually, I lost my voice, and I might have had to done a best of or something. But it always just, it happens.
Why does that happen? Because your expectation's so low? Because your bar for success is so high, low, lower, high, low, low?
Yes, kind of. But sometimes it's just, I think this. It's better to show up for an appointment with you, all right, and be there, than to necessarily show up with donuts. Now, some weeks I'll show up with donuts, but just because I don't have the donuts doesn't mean I shouldn't go. It isn't, you're not here just for the donuts, or I'm, you know, you're not wanting me to come over just for the donuts, right? It's something more than that. It's so you can make a connection with a human being.
So many of them are deterred from that. And you say, oh my gosh, sometimes I don't even feel like a human. There are people I can look in their eyes and I feel as if I would get nothing. Do they not know that we all feel these things? What is going on? Was I lied to by Mr. Rogers?
Sometimes I do feel that way. I love him. But sometimes I feel like you're lying to me. Where, you know, I'm... These things are in my heart now. I feel like you maybe set me up for disappointment. Because when I try to act like you, you know, I feel crapped upon. And I can't quite do it. You know, what are you asking me to do, Mr. Rogers? You know, what are you asking me to do? How do you do it? I'm not seeing you get mad or sad or drop the F word or whatever. Gosh, I do it constantly. And I'm making an effort. So you're naive trying to make an effort to be something like that, like all goody and all. Well, God, I'm sorry it's in my heart. I think my parents wanted to, my ancestors, my grandparents, be a good person. And now it's stuck, I got it stuck in my head like a disease, like a, I don't know whether it's a lie, you know? But occasionally, you know, you get a glimpse
of a reward, that you've been made tender, but for a reason. Ah, because something has been open to you that may not be open to you otherwise. And that's what Mr. Rogers was trying to say. He's saying, look, I'll tell you what. If you just kind of trust me for a minute, I'm going to take you to a place where anything's possible. But you can't get there if you've got all sorts of negative expectations already. And then we get on the little trolley. Little tiny trolley. I wish it was a submarine, but it wasn't. If I had the show, it'd be a submarine. Glurg, 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 glurg. But it's a little trolley. And you go into the land of make-believe, and there can exist those things. Then it's there. Then King Friday is not a threat. We can deal with him. If there was a real King Friday, and there was really a ruler who was that childish, if there was really a King Friday, a ruler that was that childish, that I want everything my way. I command that you like me. If that was a real person, oh, we'd be doomed. Could you imagine how frightening that is? But I can deal with a little puppet. Then you, oh, bless you. You're just like a kid, you know? Then I can put things more in perspective like that. My imagination helps me have compassion. Because now when I meet the real King Friday, I can deal with him a little more rationally. I won't be scared because I've shown the way. I'm wearing... See, here's the terrible thing. So there was a zipper sound effect that I should have done back in that day in that cartoon. I was wearing this exact same shirt. I could have done that. I didn't even realize I had a zipper on. And the reason I say Mr. Rogers had zip-up cardigans that his mom made him. Isn't that nice? I wish it's so hard to find one with a zipper. I like cardigans. But the zipper's better. The buttons. Oh, button. Oh, rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief. How many have I got to do? I'm up to here. Accountant. So I put the zipper, and you're good to go. A lot of us don't like he probably didn't like a pullover because it looks awkward. It's easier to put a sweater on TV, don't you think? What time is it? You got to go. Oh, my gosh, I kept you too long. You have to go. Oh, whoa, wait. Let me box some of this up for you. Let me put some of that in a bag. Let me take this whole candy dish, and I'm going to dump it into a Ziploc baggie, and you take that with you, okay? Okay? And I'm going to send you home with some other things. Can I? Can I send you home with everything? How big is your car? I won't give you ever... Take all my things with you when you leave. Just empty my house out. Oh, I'm so sorry I kept you too. I hope you had fun. I love being with you. I think you go, I know that you think, I think I'm helping you. Yeah, no. But so I bless you so much for being with me. Tell me your name. I tuned in late. Hardy White. It's one of them unfortunate names that means something. I wish my name was Tom Pippinjip or something. So listen, you are listening to Miracle Nutrition is the name of the show. On WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, or online at WFMU.org. Thank you so much for joining me, my friend. I love being here with you every week. That we can use the radio like this to connect with one another, to connect with the past and the future, to link our hearts together to make a stronger force, and to promote our love of one another and all and other things. And I'm forgetting, but you just put on the message board afterwards. Put on the comments board afterwards. See you next week. Jesus and his love.
It was clear today.